You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers, when it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. Make your number one pick, the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. With OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town. They've made unconditional fans out of all of their customers. I'm one of them. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp products playbook for your business. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. How much do we believe in this? I'm reading a document that was produced on one of their machines. A Sharp copier produced this crisp and beautiful copy. All right, what do we do today? We talk about secondary because that is the position that we're going to break down in our position previews that we began last week, and we're down to our final two. Secondary today, we'll hit special teams tomorrow as we lead into training camp and everybody reporting to camp tomorrow. You just read an interesting tweet, though. Share that with Aditi Kikabala from NFL Network. What did she tweet?
Yeah, she tweeted that she spoke with Nate Burleson on his way out of practice today, and Nate was talking about Johnny Manziel and said, quote, he did not make any mistakes today. It was an answer to a question, you know, do you feel that he put in the work and is, you know, ready to go? And, yeah. And that was the response was that he didn't make any mistakes all today. Right. So looks good. That's a good sign from, you know, a veteran guy like Nate Burleson. You like that.
And today's 7-on-7. I mean, basically today is limited because obviously you don't have enough bodies to do a full team, but they are doing like some individual drills in 7-on-7.
They are, yes. And the question was actually asked, has Manziel learned the playbook? Said, quote, he didn't make any mistakes today. He's also very excited about the Browns receiving core competition. Said, quote, it is a very hungry group.
All right, Nate Burleson.
And guys, just to interject, Jason. I'm sorry, Travis Benjamin, some really good stuff here. We're counting on him special teams-wise. He tweets out, first practice back was a success. Thank God for it all.
That's huge. That's huge. If he's running out there and feeling good, and hopefully we're going to see him come Saturday on the field as well, but I'm sure these are good test runs to see how that knee is bouncing back from the severe injury, the torn ACL that he suffered last year against the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, let's talk some secondary, Nathan. The position preview today, and I think we touched upon this a little bit when we had Kevin Jones in here, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. The focal point that is that other corner position, that position opposite Joe Haden, and do we see Justin Gilbert doing enough, making up enough ground from what looked like a tough offseason for him in some ways, enough above the shoulder pads has he learned to be an effective player? And I'm going to look for that. I'm going to say that this coaching staff will make every effort to get this guy ready for day one. I think the option of him not starting is not an option. I honestly think that I know if he's not ready, you don't push him out there for the sake of pushing him out there. I think the mandate is get him ready to start.
Well, the good news is you're looking at the early matchups in Baltimore, Pittsburgh. They really don't have an established number two receiver just yet. Marcus Wheaton is the guy that they're hoping can fill in that role for Emmanuel Sanders, second year player from Oregon State, but he has not shown anything yet. Then you get the New Orleans Saints, who don't really attack you so much on the outside. It's more in between, in the middle of the field, with Jimmy Graham down one seam, with Marcus Colston down the other seam. They did get a slot guy who's very exciting, and Brandon Cooks from Oregon State, one of my favorite players in this draft, if you guys remember that, when we got to talk about those guys for a while. But Kenny Stills on the outside likely would draw Joe Haden. So they don't really have, again, two teams in a row right out of the gate. Don't really have that number two outside receiver to challenge Justin Gilbert. Now, he will get his first test, I would imagine, week 3 against the Baltimore Ravens when Steve Smith is occupying that role on the other side of Torrey Smith. So that's something to watch. Now, he could be on Torrey Smith. They could go size, Haden on Smith, Steve, and Gilbert there against Torrey Smith to kind of match up the sizes a little bit. But I think he's got some time. I do think he has to start. I think that's the biggest battle right out of the gate. But I really believe that when they go nickel, Haden screen and Gilbert will be on the field as early as week 1. I think that Gilbert's got an opportunity to move Buster into that nickel role kind of permanently, and that's ultimately the goal there.
That's the right place for Buster Screen to be, by the way. I think right now his skill set speaks to that being him being more of an inside guy You don't want him challenging, I think, the bigger receivers on the outside. I like his quickness, his ability to mirror receivers coming off the line of scrimmage who run those zigzaggy routes underneath and such. And I think he's got, again, the physicality to challenge people because he is that kind of player. He's a scrappy kind of player. But when it comes to taking on a big receiver coming off the line of scrimmage, it's that rerouting thing. It's the long arms. That's what Mike Pettine fell in love with in this player. That's why he targeted him long before the draft as a guy that he wanted, and they made the pick eighth overall to get him, or they made the trade to get to eighth overall to make that pick. He was always the targeted player for this football team, and Mike Pettine put his stamp on that, put his signature on that. So that's why I say it won't be an easy thing to just dismiss him as a non-starter going into his rookie season. I think they'll find every way to do it. Now, you said the matchups could dictate otherwise, but I'll say this.
Even, I think the matchups help him. I think he's got
favor
time.
His ability to get some time.
Sure.
But I'm saying he will still, when you're going to – I think the Browns will open this season and continue on through playing a style of defense that requires him to be – that kind of player, right, to tap into that skill set that
and,
he has.
And I can tell you, got to see him today out there running around, and he reported to camp in phenomenal condition.
Yeah,
I mean, he is ripped. He is ready to go, looked fast, looked like he had been working out hard this offseason. He's ready to go. I think this is where Ray Farmer is going to have some tough decisions ahead here with this defensive backfield. So you got your top three, Hayden, Gilbert, and Screen. After that, Pierre Desir, who I think is going to develop into a very good corner, a very good press man corner, great size. I think he still needs some time this season. You're going to see him contribute a lot on special teams where I think he's going to be very, very good, both in coverage and if they want to use him as a return man, you could see him do that as well. TJ Heath impressed the hell out of me in the offseason. I've talked about that. We signed him from Jacksonville last year, was on our practice squad. I like him. I think he has an opportunity to make this team as really the fourth outside corner there. And then you look at the guys who could be inside. Isaiah Trufant, we know he's been with Mike Pettine before. Coach's favorite special teams demon. He's somebody to keep an eye on there. Aaron Berry, very talented, has had some off-the-field issues. I think he's going to compete with for Trufant and Heath. He's going to compete for two spots amongst those three guys. Leon McFadden, at this point, I don't know if Leon McFadden is going to make this team despite being the third-round pick last year.
Yeah, I think he's facing a real uphill battle.
He's got a long way to go. He's facing a battle. They kept him ahead of Royce Adams, who they just released, so he's got that going for him.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to show a lot, I think, to make this 53.
With McFadden, I think it's as much an attitude thing as anything else. I think he came in believing when he was a third-round pick last year, first of all, that he had it made, which he was going to get – The odds favored him making the roster pretty much regardless of how it looked in the preseason. But it was awful in training camp in the preseason. And it was observer after observer. I'm talking internally. I'm talking scouts and coaches watching this guy perform and watching him struggle and shaking their head and really not believing how bad he was out there. Now, did he make some strides a little bit in the offseason, this offseason? Yeah, a little bit. But I still think there's something not – entirely there with regard to a guy who understands what he needs to do to become a better player.
Correct. And you just wonder if he was – maybe just wasn't a great pick ultimately when you look back on it. And if he's out of here, you're certainly going to say that that was a failed third-round pick for Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi last year. You can't miss on
that high a pick.
That is correct. You do not want to miss there. One other guy to keep your eye on in camp, Robert Nelson out of Arizona State. He kind of could be a slot corner to keep an eye on in the future there. And now we turn our attention to the safeties. And I think that there is a lot of talent in here, certainly the starters. Tayshawn Gibson – going to be great next to Dante Whitner. 5 interceptions last season, most among any AFC safety. You bring in Whitner, I think he's going to be one of the leaders, if not the leader of this defense, kind of imposing that will, kind of turning this into a feared unit. I love Jordan Poyer. I think he can play both safety positions. I even think he can play some slot corner a la the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, who did that, kind of play that safety, also some slot corner. Somebody with a lot of versatility, very instinctual, I think, on the back end. He had a lot of interceptions in the OTAs. Want to see him continue that in the mini camp. Johnson Batamosi, a great special teams guy. And then you're going to see Josh Aubrey, Kwon Williams, Darwin Cook. Williams can play both corner and some safety there, competing to try to make this roster. But I think a good group, and you could ultimately see as many, I think, as 10 defensive backs on the final 53.
I think you could. And defensive backs are – there's a premium on the position in the mind of most coaches, but I think particularly so with Mike Pettine for the type of defense he wants to play. Because when you're pressuring those defenders, when you're putting as much pressure on them as this defense does, you ask them, hold up coverage for a long time, hold up coverage without a lot of help. You're not playing a ton of zone. You're playing, I mean, you're going to be blitzing and tearing after the quarterback and just hold your own regardless of who it is you have to cover. And when you do that, you tend to go through more cornerbacks. You tend to have a deeper run of people available because guys, you basically use them up and in many cases spit them out. I'm not talking about beyond your first couple at the position, but your depth at the position is severely challenged because, again, you're gonna have people who will struggle in when you get to those three and four receiver sets, you know, who's on that, especially when you get to four receiver sets, and you'll see that quite a bit. Where is your weakest link in terms of coverage? Who comes in and dime, and who are those corners who can do that? And those are critical roles. And I think the way this defense is going to be run as well is the blitzing aspect. So every time you look at some of these DBs, at any of these DBs, they're looked at with regard to what kind of ability do you have in specialty situations to come rush the quarterback?
Sure.
And how effective are you doing that? And that's a big time skill for a smaller bodied player who's got to get through a lot of. Hopefully he gets to be a free runner, but at some point he's going to take on the challenges of pickup, of blitz pickup, and it's I think more than in some cases some guys can handle. So that'll be in the judgments of how this team factors its depth. All right. We have covered that position, the secondary position. We might say a little more about it as we go forward, but that's essentially the story as we head into training camp. And then coming up as we do this on Thursdays, a little fact or fiction. Jason Gibbs, our producer, will be playing that game with us. Nathan and I will run down the questions. That is coming up next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.